You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to this special edition of the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to take a look ahead to Royal Ascot. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is William Hill Radio's Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Extremely well and very excited.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Royal Ascot.
I am. It's my second favourite meeting of the year, ahead of Punchestown as well.
Is it?
Yeah, because I actually attend both. I actually slightly prefer Ascot just because it's a different occasion. We'll get dressed up and it's not just about the racing, it is all about socialising, having a good time, having a bit of crack. But the racing is absolutely different class and I always look forward to this. It comes at the right time of the year. We've had lots of form already to look at. The numbers are all good. The two-year-olds are all set fair. It's just brilliant racing.
It is. It's brilliant racing and it's a magnificent spectacle as well. When the sun's shining and you've got the Queen's carriage coming down and everyone's in the top hat and tails, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah, without a doubt. You don't get that anywhere else in the world and that's why a lot of the foreign raiders enjoy coming over so much, and once they get a bug of it, that they want to keep coming back and back. Like Wesley Ward, you know, he's had a taste of success and he's got a bigger team than ever. He's just an example of how revered the Royal Ascot meeting is all around the world.
Yeah, we saw him to good effect last year, didn't we? A couple of real fast American horses coming over, trained by him. It adds a different element, doesn't it? An international element to it. You've got the French raiders, you've got the Americans, you've got Australians come over in the past.
Japanese are having a good go as well this year. It's a global international fiesta. And it's great to be there. I'm only there for 2 days. We're looking forward to it and hopefully the 10 races that we cover, we can make a reasonable job of highlighting a few that should run well.
Hopefully so. Yeah, we're going to look at 10 races. Andy's going to give us his best bets in the big races throughout the week. And you got any strong opinions so far? You must have since you're doing this preview.
I've got a few, yeah. I mean, a lot of my stronger opinions, I must admit, will come in the other races, the handicaps, for instance.
Yeah.
But a lot is all subject to the draw and the conditions at the moment. As time of recording, Ascot have had a little bit of rain over the weekend, but nothing of any great quantities. I would imagine that the first day will be run maybe good to firm in places. It'll be perfect ground. There might be selected watering during the week because the forecast for next week's very favourable. Looking ahead, I've seen the BBC forecast. We're looking at dry, sunny conditions on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. No rain forecast. So that could worry one or two of the stronger fancied horses like Forgotten Rules later on in the week in the Gold Cup. 25, 26 degrees as well.
Yeah.
So if you're in a top hat and waistcoat, you're going to be being careful of how much liquid you're taking on board.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the alcoholic variety.
Let's get stuck into it then. The first race of Royal Ascot is the Queen Anne Stakes. It's at 2:30 on Tuesday. It's a Group One. Over a mile, and the market headed by Solo, who's 6-4, 9-4 for Able Friend, 5-1 for Knight of Thunder. Tomo is 8-1. A-Rod is 10s, 14s for Cable Bay, 16s for Esoteric, and 20s or bigger for the others. Solo has been very impressive in France so far. I suppose the Shades of Goldiecover, been trained by Freddie Head and wearing the same silks.
As far as I'm concerned, horses that have been racing around the globe, I very rarely take that much notice of them because I can't do speed figures. So I've been a figures based man. It's usually very difficult for me to do tracks like Longchamp and Chanty, blah blah blah. But luckily for me, this horse ran at Maidan over the winter, and I do keep all the Maidan times quite closely. And this horse did a sensational time when winning a very very competitive Group One. He slaughtered the Great Gatsby in the Dubai Turf. All the best horses were there: Claude Sera, Yura Charlene, Moish, and of course the Irish Champion Stakes winner himself. And he couldn't have won any more easier. He's then obviously had a break. He came to Longchamp the other day in a Group One, Prix des Fahans. And although Sirius de Zegler wasn't at his best, Solo once again proved that he's probably one of the best milers, if not the best miler in the world, and he's a very much a worthy favourite for me. Freddie Head's got a tremendous record with the horses he brings over to this country, and Maxime Guyon rides him with a massive amount of confidence. He knows he's on a bit of a Rolls Royce. So I think the market has got this one right, and if he's in the same kind of form that he has been on his last two starts, the English Raiders are in trouble.
And 6-4 about him. Would you find any other value in there, or would you just straight favourite wins the first?
I think he'll probably win the first, yeah. If I was looking for a little bit of value down the line, Richard Hannon obviously has a strong hand, or strongest hand. Most punters will look towards Knight of Thunder. Of course, he won the lock-ins, but I actually prefer Tormore out of the two. I thought Richard Hughes didn't have much option from his high draw in the lock-ins when he was stranded towards the middle of the track. And as it happened, he actually raced away from the pace. They all challenged on the far side. And that ended up being the where to be. So Tormore did really well to rally as well. He was up with the speed, and yet he came back at Knight of Thunder, who had much the easier, more conservative run through. So 10-1, I'd probably look towards Tormore as the alternative each way to the Fav.
And do you have any opinion on Abel Friend as well, who's prominent in the market? Don't really know too much about him.
I don't know much about him, no. I've got no numbers, obviously, for him. He's been racing in Sharting predominantly. He's won his last five. But listening and reading Richard Hughes' column in the Racing Post, he doesn't give him any chance at all. He's not frightened of him whatsoever. He just said he can't win for one reason or another. So if Richard Hughes reckons that, that's good enough for me. So he takes out a massive chunk of the market at 9-4.
Yeah. Fair enough. Solo to win the Queen Anne then. Moving on to the Coventry Stakes next, which is at 3:05 on the first day. It's a Group 2 for the two-year-olds. The market headed by Round 2, who's 9-4. 9-2 for Finnegan. Logout Island is 6-1. 8s for Air Force Blue and Burattino and War Department. Eltazam is 12s. 14s for Washington DC. And 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Which of the two-year-olds stands out to you, Andy?
Well, from a figures perspective, Mark, Round 2 has got a little bit to improve upon, in my opinion, to justify his price in the market. He's very, very short for what he's actually achieved. Yes, he's been impressive looking, and his nice win has worked out really well. He obviously beat Argentiero and Waterloo Bridge, and they've both gone on to win subsequently. And he lowered the colours of Washington DC next time out, who also has won subsequently. I'm not sure whether he's going to be as good as Dawn Approach. And I think a lot of people are putting two and two together and seeing that he's now running in the colours of Godolphin. And, you know, he's going to follow suit. But he's just desperately short. The three top-rated horses on my numbers, actually two of them are from the Richard Hannon stable, and it's very difficult to split them. You've got Logout Island, who produced a massive speed figure in winning over the course early on in the year. He beat the likes of Burattino and Gifted Master, who obviously went into that race off the back of good figures at Newmarket. And he won by 4.5 lengths, making virtually all the running, quickening up nicely. He looks as though he'll get further. He's bred to do so. I think he's going to take a major hand in the finish. But my main selection at the prices would be Richard Hannon's supposed second string, who runs in the colours of Al Shikab Racing. Franco Dettori will ride. Obviously, I don't know the draw at the moment. But provided he does get a good draw, I think Eltazam is very much a massive player. He was a night catching third in that really good race. It was won by Birchwood at Newbury early on in the year. You know, that contained a lot of good two-year-olds. And then he won a race at Haydock in a very fast time the other day, breaking his maiden tag. He was only workmanlike because winning at 4-11, but already that race is beginning to work out well. Dark Defender, who was 6, he's won subsequently. And the horse that finished last, Abernathy, absolutely tailed off last of the 10. He won the other day at Sandown. So we've had two runners out of the race. They've both won, backing up the speed figure. And he's a lovely strapping son of Kodiak as well, this Eltazam. I think he could shake up the market leaders. And of the Irish Raiders, I think Air Force Blue is out. Is one to consider. He beat that Rockaway Valley of Jessica Harrington's on debut, and he has won, and not only he has won, Tonkinese has won the third. So figures-wise and form-wise, he can be a massive player for a yard that has got a great record in the Coventry. So I'd probably play Eltazam and Air Force Blue against the field.
Couple against field friendly then in the Coventry. Moving on to the King's Stand Stakes next. This is the 3:40. It's part of the British Champion Series in Global Sprint Challenge, a Group 1 contest over 5 furlongs. Soul Power heads the market at 7-2, bidding to become the first horse to win the King's Stand 3 years in a row. Muthmere is 5-1, 7-1 for Brazen Bow and Shamal Wind. Mecca's Angel is 8-1, 10s for Tiggy Wiggy, and 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. Can Soul Power write himself into a bit of history here?
Well, it'd be great if he did. There's a lot of confidence behind him. I think he's one of the most popular horses in training, if not the most popular. He's won back-to-back King Stands, and he doesn't seem to be getting any slower, does he, at the ripe old age of eight? He had a nice prep the other day at the Curra. The ground was soft. It was six furlongs, two factors that don't really suit Soul Power. But he still ran creditably behind Mustajib, and that would have blown away the cobwebs. Should have put him absolutely cherry ripe. And, of course, he managed to win the Group 1 in Maidan on his previous start before that. Richard Hughes gets on particularly well with him. He knows exactly how to ride him. He doesn't like being crowded, so he likes to drop him out the back. He's the archetypal Ascot horse, isn't he? Ascot winners mostly on the straight track don't have anything to do with the early speed. They come through very strongly at the end on that uphill climb when horses are dying. So, providing he gets the right draw and he gets the toe into the race, he's very much the one to beat.
It's a real spectacle seeing Soul Power come off the pace, isn't it, as well? The way he gets to find the gaps and he weaves his way through and then that pace at the end.
Well, he must be a thrill for the jockey, and he's a thrill for punters that back him as well, because you feel as though you're buying to the ride, don't you, as well? You're almost on the back of him yourself. But it's going to be a maximum field, and you know there are plenty of others with chances if Soul Power doesn't turn up on his A game.
Do you back him then, or do you side with something else?
Well, I certainly think if you're having a bet in the race, you've got to include Soul Power in your betting strategy, because you kick yourself if he won. He's going to be 4-5-1, and you know you won't want to miss him if he did win, and he's the one that the rest have got to beat. Of the others, Muthme has obviously been a strong tip from many. He's yet to race at Ascot, which is a slight concern. I like to back horses that have had previous at this meeting, but he won well in Shanty the other day. Won a massive price. I'm just going to throw this one to the mix. She's got quite a bit to find on the bare bones of her form, but she did finish third in the Norfolk back in 2013, and I thought she was hugely unlucky the other day at Haydock in the race that was won by Pearl Secret. That was the Temple Stakes. Windfire's the horse in question. I think with a clear run, Davy Brown's Charge would have nearly won that race. And she could have just slipped under the radar, along with Mecca's Angels as well, if the ground isn't too bad for her. But she would need a little bit more cut in the ground as we speak at this very moment in time. But, I'd have to play Soul Power. But looking at a massive price, you know, you could be talking 20-25-1. I don't know what the odds are for Windfire, but she'd be a one to consider for those that like a bit more of a speculative interest.
25-1.
There you go, 25-1.
Could do worse than that, can't you?
Could do worse.
Good stuff. The St James's Palace Stakes is the last race we're going to look at on the Tuesday. This is a Group 1 for the 3-year-olds over a mile. And the market headed by Glen Eagles, who's 4-7. 3-1 for Make Believe. Consort is 5s. And then 14-1 for Eshted Car. And Highland Reel and Ivorwood and 20s or bigger for the others. Just looking at the list of previous winners here as well. You've got Kingman, Dawn Approach, Frankel, Camford Cliffs. Some real high-quality three-year-olds have won this, Andy. Is Glen Eagles in that bracket?
Well, if you believe Aidan O'Brien, yes. He's unbeaten since he got beat on his debut. And everything he's done has been nothing other than top class. He's the winner of four Group 1s, including the English and the Irish 2,000 guineas. I actually thought he was more impressive at Newmarket than he was on the Curra, where he was a bit more workmanlike. Perhaps he was still feeling that run at Newmarket. Hopefully he would have been freshened up since. You know, it'd be a fool to say he's not a worthy favourite, but he has got a bit of competition, most likely from Andre Frov's Make Believe, of course, was the winner of the French version, beating New Bay, who went on to win the Irish, the French Derby. And it was a very competitive field this year. His figures are good, and he looks a nice horse, you know, in the making. We've also got Consort in there as well, who's very much the dark horse of the race. He won a listed race at Sandown the other day. The further he went, the better he looked. Obviously, he's got to take a massive step up in class for winning a listed to Group 1 company, but Sir Michael Stout doesn't waste many bullets in these kind of races, and he obviously thinks he's up to standard. And it'd be lovely for, you know, Highclere Thoroughbred Racing with their massive amount of connections if that horse was to run a respectable race, which I'm sure he will. But, yeah, Glen Eagles would probably be the pick, but maybe Consort could be the each-way alternative.
Mm. I'm looking forward to seeing Glen Eagles, actually, because he's the best mile we've seen this year, isn't he?
He is, yeah, by a long chalk.
Mm. All right, then on to the Prince of Wales Stakes next. This is on the Wednesday, and it's at 4:20. It's a Group 1 over a mile and a quarter. British Champions Series race as well. The market headed by Free Eagle, who's 11-4. 6-1 for the Grey Gatsby. Criterion and Ecto are both 7-1. 8-1 for California Chrome. 9s for Western Hymn. 10s for Gaylord Chop and Spielberg. And 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. Looking forward to seeing Free Eagle back in action, Andy. I'm sure you are, being the Irish guru. Also interested to see how California Chrome gets on. And then you've got the home challenge in the Grey Gatsby. It's an interesting race, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Looking at the prices, bookmakers have taken no chances with Free Eagle, who on his day, as he's shown twice in the past, he's very, very smart. He won on debut. And then he absolutely slaughtered a good field at Leopardstown in the Enterprise Stakes. That was off the back of a layoff, so he clearly goes well fresh. Quite clearly, the heavy ground and the step up in trip didn't suit him towards the back end of last season when he was only third to Noble Mission in the Champion Stakes. And if Dermot Wells got him anywhere near his peak fitness, then he probably, for me, would be a worthy favourite. I'm still not quite totally convinced about the Great Gatsby this year. He's run two okay races, but probably not. He's in the same kind of form as he was when he beat Australia last year in the Irish Champion Stakes. You'd have to argue that. I'm not quite convinced about California Chrome. A lot of pressure on current connections to getting back to this kind of level that we saw a season or two ago. And all his best form, obviously, is on a dirt surface. So we're very much in the dark with him. The massive improvement for me has been Western Him. Since he got beat last year in the Champion Stakes, he's done absolutely nothing wrong. He's also won on fastest ground as well, which is something that he's never done before. So that if there's a little bit of cushion still left in the ground, it could well suit him. I thought he won a good race last time out in pretty decent fashion, the Brigadier Gerard. And, even though this represents a step up in grade, I think he could be up to it. He'd be one at a massive price that I would consider. I'm pretty sure Eagle Top will end up running in the Hardwick and not come here. I'm not sure whether John Gosden will run two in this race. I think he'll run Western Him and then save Eagle Top for the mile and a half race, because he won over a mile and a half last year. He won the King Edward, didn't he? The mile and a half race for three-year-olds. The Ascot Derby, as they call it. And he had a nice prep in the Brigadier Gerard. But yeah, the representative, let's say, of John Gosden's would be my each-way choice in that race.
Yeah, he won last year, didn't he, as well, with the Fugue.
The Fugue, John Gosden, yeah.
All right. Western Him 9-1, by the way, and Eagle Top 14s, if that's the case. But
it's a near of the day race until you know what exactly is the eventual lineup.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. So we'll move on to the Royal Hunt Cup next, and this is a post time of 5 o'clock on the Wednesday. 10-1 joint favourites in AR and speculative bid. GM Hopkins is 12-1 with Lightning Spear and Sparkplug. 14s for Temptress and You're Fired. First Flight is 16-1 with Fort Bastion and Lincoln and Masadas, and it's 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. Easier puzzles to solve than this, Andy, I imagine.
Yeah, this one's like tying your shoelaces up with boxing gloves, isn't it, this race? obviously, at time of recording, we don't know the draw, what the likely ground is going to be. We're going to say good to firm, aren't we? There isn't any forecast rain, so that's going to suit pretty much a lot of the front end of the market. You know, you've got AR, who's a spectacular winner of the Spring Cup, and he's run really well in these kind of races before. I think he was fifth in the race last year with not a clear run, if my memory serves me correct, behind Field of Dream. So Connections will be very keen to improve upon their performance last year. Speculative Bid has got a massive turn of foot. He's improved out of all recognition. Jamie Spencer riding rides him really well. He's the archetypal Ascot horse. He's a swoop, late and pounce horse. He'll kind of be dive bombing his horses at the finish. He comes out really well on my speed figures, by the way. And talking of improved milers, then you'd look no further than GM Hopkins as well, another one that comes into the mix. He was hugely unlucky for me when Sparkplug got first run on him in a very competitive race at Newbury on his last start. And he's a horse who I think is going to win a big pot one of the days, GM Hopkins. I think towards the back end of last season, he won he won the Silver Cambridge, didn't he? Which is a similar race to this, numbers wise and the way the race develops. And John Gosden's got a really good record in straight mile handicaps at Royal Ascot. So the shortlist is very much those ones I've mentioned. Musadas would be the only one at a bigger price that I'd be interested in, because his number at Newmarket when he won the last day was very, very special. And both the second Jacob Black and Express Himself have both won since. So those are the ones I'd be interested in. If I whittled it down to two, I'd probably go GM Hopkins at the front end of the market and Musadas at a much bigger price.
12s and 16s respectively. So that's the Royal Hunt Cup. Moving on to the Thursday, and the Ascot Gold Cup. Significant absentee announced on Saturday morning. We will not have Brown Panther in the lineup. And Forgotten Rules heads the market here at 5-2. 5-1 for Mizu. Clever Cookie, 8s with Vonda Force. 10-1 for Alex Maboy and Bathiron and Trip to Paris. 12s for Tacta Watron. And 14-1 are bigger prices for the others. The market dominated by Forgotten Rules, but as you kind of mentioned earlier on, the ground will be key, won't it?
Yeah, dominated also by soft ground horses, or horses that like to get their toe in. You know, Clever Cookie, Brown Panther would have been another one as well. High Jinx, Tacta Botron, Von the Force. He's another horse who likes a bit of cut. And Forgotten Rules himself, Dermot Well has stressed all along that if the ground's too firm for him, he won't run Forgotten Rules. When he won here towards the back end of last season, of course, he won the Long Distance Cup, beating Biographer and Palisator. The ground was heavy that day. So he's going to have one eye on the weather all week. So I think if you're going to have an anti-post bet, this is not a bad race to have a look at, you know, because you could get a bit of value with non-runners and horses at the top end of the market that are not going to have their ground. And probably one of my, I wouldn't say strongest bets of the meeting, but one of my sneakier ones at a bigger price is Kingfisher. Currently a 14-1 shot with most firms, including William Hill. I can see his price contracting quite deeply in the next day or two. Of course, comes from a yard who's got a great record with this race. And he's their only representative this year. And I like the way his sort of progression graph is going. I know he got beat on debut by Forgotten Rules, but that was probably a race to blow away the cobwebs. But he was hugely impressive on the numbers the other day in Leopardstown when he won the Seville Beg, which has been a good race, or a good target race for Aidan O'Brien. He often runs his Gold Cup horse in that race. And although he only won by half a length, I thought he did all his best work at the end. He's crying out for further. He's unexposed over distances beyond a mile and six. And he's one not to be underestimated. So Kingfisher at this very early stage, at 14-1, I think that's a nice anti-post price.
Okay.
It's a strongly run race at Savile Beg, and he stayed on very powerfully.
Fair enough. For some reason, we've taken the betting down for Friday's races. Not sure why, but we'll look at them anyway. We'll start in the Commonwealth Cup, which is a Group 1 for the three-year-olds. A new race at Royal Ascot, a 6-furlong sprint for the three-year-olds. Who do you side with in there, Andy?
Yeah, a lot depends for me whether Anthem Alexandra lines up in this race, or she runs in the King Stand. Because if she turns up here, I'm going to make her a really strong bet. She was a hugely impressive winner, of course, at Royal Ascot last year, winning the Queen Mary, beating Tiggy Wiggy. The form of that race has just been so good. Tiggy Wiggy obviously went on to do great things, but Newsletter was third, and Ken Condon's Charge is right at the top draw this season. And even though she got beat by Tiggy Wiggy towards the back end of last year, I always felt as though that she was a horse that's going to be more of a three-year-old than a two-year-old, because she's got such a masculine size and physique. And she managed to win first time up at Nace this year on ground that she didn't like. Edwin Lyon was toying with the idea of pulling her out when she won the Lacan Stakes. She did it in really good style. Back in third was Toscanini, who Mickey Halford thinks the world of. The time of the race is sensational. And class-wise, she's definitely a Group 1 horse. There are plenty of horses in this Commonwealth Cup that aren't. The ones who I think are up to the standard of Anthem Alexandra, you'd have to respect, of course, Tiggy Wiggy. And it looks as though Connections are going to run her in this race. And the other one to the other two to mention as well are Limota and Aday. They fought out the finish at Haydock on their last start, respectively, in a very good time race. I thought Aday did really well to win that sandy lane. He was drawn on the wrong side, but he swooped to conquer late on. There are excuses for Limota with regard to the ground, because they reckon it was overwatered and it didn't suit him. So he's got a chance of reversing the form, but I'm not so sure myself. I think Aday is hugely progressive. I'm really looking forward to this race, but Anthem Alexandra at 8-1. If she does line up here instead of the King Stand, I'm definitely not going to leave her behind.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. It's good to have a 3-year-old
a
sprint,
race.
Isn't it?
Because it's a quality race.
The King Stand wasn't very kind to 3-year-olds in the past, was it? So to have their own race, I think it's a great addition to
the team. Yeah, absolutely. And it's looking the race, one of the races of the meeting, competitiveness and quality wise. And, you know, we're going to get 6-5, 6-1 the field race as well, which also is great for punters.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. The 4:20 at Ascot on Friday is the Coronation Stakes. It's part of the British Champions Series. It's a Fillies Group 1, and it's over a mile. It's for 3-year-old Fillies as well. Which ones stand out to you in there, Andy?
Yeah, obviously Founder's got to be a worthy favourite on the basis of her second in the Irish 1,000 Guineas Beyond Police Cock, of course, so I regard as the invincible filly this year. I don't think anything will beat Jim Bolger's filly at all. I think she's about as good as you're going to get in the on the female sex side. And we've already seen the Irish 1000 Guineas work out incredibly well. Not only did Tamador boost the form, who was sixth in the Irish 1000 the other night at Fairy House, but of course the Oaks winner herself finished 10th qualify. So it's the best piece of filly's form going. And if it wasn't for Peacecock, then Fan would have been a ready winner. And like I said, I do rate Jim Bolger's charge. She's just a freak. At the moment, at the time of recording, we're looking at around about 6-4, 7-4. And it's hard to make concrete cases out for many of the rest. And I think Ascot will suit her really well. She's got a short, sharp burst. She's got a huge turn of foot, which lasts around about a furlong and a half, 2 furlongs. So the home straight at Ascot should play into her strengths. So it's obviously a long way in advance. We're looking at Friday, but at this early stage, and my selection would have to be Found.
Okay, Found Friday then. In there, just on the subject of Pleasecock, goes in the Ribblesdale, is that right?
Yeah, she does, yeah. I'd make her one of the naps of the meeting.
Yeah, been bought by Godolphin as well, hasn't she?
Yeah, been bought by Godolphin. I'm not overly impressed with all that. You know, Ashley Cab and Godolphin buying all these horses. It's a little bit tainted, isn't it? But anyway, you know, money talks, as they say. But they bought into a really good mare there. You know, she won the Irish 1000 over an adequate trip. If she manages to win that Group 1 over 2 furlongs short of her best, she was really impressive the time before when she was second in that race that was won by Baka Bakayata. But that, she needed the run that day. And mile and a half, she's crying out for further. So I think the Ribblesdale has already got Pluscock's name on it.
Yeah. All right, moving on to Saturday then. The 4:20 is the Diamond Jubilee Stakes. It's a Group 1. Over 6 furlongs, it's another one that's part of the British Champion Series and Global Sprint Challenge. And the market headed by Brazen Bow, who's 7-2 at the top of the betting. Mustard Jeeb is 11-2. G-Force is 10s, 12s for Due Diligence. One Gina is 12-1. 14s for Glass Office, Lightning Moon and Tropics, and Undrafted, and 16s or bigger for the others. Who do you like in there?
Yeah, I'd probably have two against the field at this stage, Mark. Mustard Jeeb would be my number one choice. Was wildly impressive when beating a horse I made my nap of the meeting last year in the Jersey Stakes, Muari. The pair pulled well clear. It was a fast time. And Mustard Jeeb looks as though he's been campaigned over sprint distances. And given that he won the Greenland Stakes in such impressive fashion on his seasonal reappearance, then I'm definitely going to make him a bet in the Golden Jubilee. And the other one to mention as well is Dean Ivory's vastly underestimated warrior, the 7-year-old Tropics, who scored in a very fast time on his seasonal reappearance at Windsor. Dean Ivory reckons he's got him the best he's ever been. And if that's the case, then he's got a great chance of making his presence felt. He's run really well at Ascot before. Arguably, his best form's come with a little bit of cut in the ground, although I don't think we should generalise too much with him because he has won on fast ground as well. When he was second to Gordon Lord Byron at the big race at Ascot towards the back end last year, the Champion Sprint, there was plenty of cut in the ground. But we do know that he operates well at Ascot. We know he's in great form. His figures stack up. And Dean Ivory's also in great form, providing he gets a good draw. I think 14-1, anti-post for Tropics is a big price.
All right, nice big price one there in the Diamond Jubilee. And the last race we're going to look at is the Wokingham Stakes, which is the 5 o'clock on the Saturday. And 12-1 joint favourites with Ascription and Telmead. Huntsman's Close is 14-1 with Kickboxer. 16s for Intibar. Intrinsic, Watchable, Zolti and Zawan. 18-1 for Discussion to Follow, and 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. A nice easy finish to the preview here, Andy.
Yeah, obviously by the end of the week we will know exactly where we stand with the draw. High numbers, low numbers, that'll pan itself out. So it almost doesn't make too much sense to be dogmatic at this stage, but obviously I've got to come up with a selection, and there's one horse that I'm pretty convinced by that will win a big pot sooner rather than later. He's running a hell of a lot of strongly run races over in Ireland, and he just hasn't had his day in the sun. And that's a horse called Zolti, trained by David Marnane, who's got a fantastic record when he brings horses over to the Royal Meeting. He's won this race before. He won it, I think he won it 2 or 3 years back now, with a sprinter which I can't for the life of me remember the name of, but I remember having a bit of a touch with it when it won. And this Zolti has just been running, dining at the very top table in a lot of strongly run races in Ireland. He had a nice warm-up the other day at Tipperary over an adequate 5 furlongs when he finished 4th behind Kimbay. And that should have put him absolutely cherry ripe. He was fourth behind Muthmere from a bad draw last year at York. I remember backing him that day. I think he was drawn two or drawn one. But, you know, those horses have gone on to, such as Muthmere and Goldream, who were second and third respectively. Outdo is fifth. These have gone on to make into group horses and genuine group one horses as well. So he was only on the coattails of those. And he's a really good horse when there's plenty of pace on and he gets loads of cover in a strongly run straight track, 6 furlong race. So hopefully he gets a good draw. He ships up on the day. And at 20 to 1, he'd do for me at this stage.
It was Dandy Boy.
Dandy Boy. Mm. That's the one, yeah. Back from big prices down to...
Well, he won at 33 to 1,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. I remember backing him at a big price.
Good.
Okay.
What's your best bet for Royal Ascot then, Andy?
My best bet for Royal Ascot? I would say at this stage, I'll be very, very keen on Eltazam in the Coventry at the price. 16 to 1 for him is huge value on a horse I've got doing some very fast times.
Okay, good stuff.
Eltazam.
Nice one. Well, it's been a pleasure, Andy. Good luck and enjoy Royal Ascot.
I'm really looking forward to it. Cheers, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.